We're in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12. Think about the joy of godly belonging, and we're beginning a short series on thinking about how we belong together and how we give. The saying goes, the last person, part of a person to be converted is their wallet. And we're spending the next 3 weeks thinking about giving. What does the Bible say about why we should give money? Where we should give money? So we're thinking about giving it as we give to the church. What does that mean? Well, we want to improve our communication to tell you all the exciting things that we're involved in. And I've been thinking about the phrase ministry all to all. We want people involved in Mercy Church, in Sunday School, and the various projects. We want them to claim back so that the church as a whole, so that we are all giving to all. And that'll be exciting as we get to know all of the things and take part in all of the things. We're also thinking about our parish share. We're not paying our way. We want to plan to increase our parish share. This is taking part with the other churches in the deanery, and also will help us secure our future as we become more secure in our parish share. And we're thinking about mission. We want to increase our committed mission giving. We have occasional special services where we think about particular charities, and that's great, and we'll continue to do that. It gives us a great focus for thinking about our mission partners or for charities that we support. But we particularly want to commit, we want to budget towards that, and that'll be part of our giving as a church. And then, of course, we are raising money for the building, heating, and it's a slightly separate one, that one, because giving to a ministry, giving to the parish share, giving to mission, that's things that we as the church family do. But actually for the building, well, lots of people benefit from this tall, beautiful building. And it takes a lot of money to keep it going, to fix it. We currently have a hole in the roof. We currently need to replace our heating system. So we'll be asking wider community to help us with that. But for today, how can we grow in joyful generosity? The first stage is think about godly belonging. We have a lot of visitors for a baptism today. And so it's good to start with this joy of godly belonging, because if you don't belong, why should you give? But if you don't know Jesus as Lord, maybe as you listen, as you look in on what church is supposed to be like, you might want to find out more. And I guess the sorts of questions we're thinking about is people who say, I don't do church, or I don't belong, or I don't need to belong. Or here, a picture on the screen, just if you stand in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. If you stand in a church, it doesn't make you a Christian. They're subtle, aren't they? And I expect you've heard those sorts of phrases. I certainly have. But we're going to see that a Christian does do church, does belong, and does need to belong. We're going to see the blessing, the bonus, and the joy of godly belonging. What a joy to do church. Well, as we start here, jump into 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12, we need to see something of the context. And in verse 7, Paul has been describing how the Spirit is given to each Christian, to each one. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Each one, every Christian has the Spirit, the presence of God in their lives, for the benefit of others, for the common good. This benefit is difficult to do if we don't see each other, if we don't meet up with each other. And then our passage today goes on to describe the church, and it describes the church as a body. So we're just going to think, well, what sort of body? And our first point, verse 12 and 13, is the church is one body. You belong to church. Whether we think about the worldwide church or a local church here in Maidenhead or our congregation, it is a body interacting and taking part with each other. So verse 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with church. Just as Christ is a single entity, so church is. Christ has one body. We expect the church to be one body. In verse 27, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. So you see, to become a Christian, as shown here in baptism of Leo, well, it's a picture of stopping living for ourselves and starting living for Jesus as King. We call it repenting, which literally means turning around, turning from living my way to living God's way, saying sorry for things that I've been doing on my own and seeking to turn to follow Jesus. Repentance and also faith. Faith is trust in Jesus, which makes a life-changing difference. You've heard me talk about Blondin before, famous tightrope walker. He apparently used to walk backwards and forwards across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And people were amazed at the stunts he would pull. Once he fried breakfast halfway across. And other times he'd be carrying all sorts of things across. And he said, "Oh, do you think I can bring this really heavy wheelbarrow across the tightrope?" And there people said, "Oh, yeah, you're amazing. You can do this." And he did. And they said, "Yeah, this is great." So he said, "Right, well, do you think I can take someone in the wheelbarrow safely across the tightrope?" And they said, "Yes, yes, Blondin, you can do it. We believe." So he said, "Right, can I have a volunteer?" And the crowd went quiet. See, that's the difference between just believing something and actually putting our faith in it. It needs to make a life-changing difference. And as we become Christians, it's like we're united with Christ. His death and resurrection becomes our new start. We're brought into new life by the Spirit, baptism by one Spirit, drinking one Spirit, verse 13. This is a spiritual reality, God with us. Becoming a Christian, a new start with God in our lives, so as to form one body. So you see, church is not a meeting we go to. It's a body we belong to. Church is not a meeting we go to. It's a body we belong to. So just as we see from the first half of this chapter, there's no spiritless Christian. So here now we see there is no churchless Christian. There's not a one person church. There are many parts needed for the one body. And it's not that you should belong to a body. You do belong to a body. If you're a Christian, you belong to church. I think it's a strength here at White Waltham, but we do continue to work at it. Some may feel on the outside, whether you're new or you've been here for a while, we must continue to prioritise looking out for and involving all. We see that three times in these two verses. All to one. All becomes one. All joined together as one. I wonder who or what will be difficult for you to be united to. You're not allowed to pick your favourites. We are all joined together in one body. And if you feel outside things, you don't know what's going on or how to take part, please do try and come and speak up and bring questions if you feel you can. We are, and we should feel like, one family, one body. So how are you aware of being part of one body of Christians in White Waltham, or in Maidenhead, or across the world? And it's great, as we think about our giving, what we're trying to do expresses those three things. As church, we want to all take part in all ministry. So we want to be giving generously into the church and then looking at how the church uses that money. As we think about being part of Maidenhead, well, the way we do that is through our parish share. And we, like I've said before, we don't give our share. So we're looking to increase our parish share. We are one body across Maidenhead. And then the world. Our mission partners, we want to commit to giving as we take part as one body across the world. So the church is one body of which you're part. The church is one body of many parts, verse 14 to 20, of which all belong to the body. Maybe the point here is you belong, you are needed. This is about unity, but not uniformity, but diversity. We've had a list of gifts in the first half of this chapter, but basically means that all are gifted, albeit in different ways. So verse 15 and 16 here are written to those who feel inferior. Are you a foot or an ear type? I don't know if you thought about that as you came to church this morning. Are you a foot or an ear? Is that you? It might be if you think, I can't do that or that, so I don't belong. Or I'm not important. I don't have a role. You need to be reminded that not all body or church is in one person. And the church, the body, does not all act in one particular way. I had a friend when I was growing up who was wonderful at bassoon, and he played in the church band. Lovely, beautiful sound. But imagine I'd wanted to copy that. And so I took up the bassoon, and soon there were two bassoons going along. Now, I have actually heard two bassoons playing in a small group. You just about get away with it. It sounds like two melodious ducks next to each other. Bob, 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 bob. But imagine the next person and the next person and the next person. They all want this particular gift. They join the bassoon band, and soon there's 10, 15, 20 bassoons. It'd be ridiculous. There's a necessity of diversity. We're not to envy or copy other people's gifts, but to look at how God has gifted us. You are needed. The foot is not the loveliest feature. The hand is a lot handier. Yes, all right. And, well, maybe in church, visibility, that does not equal importance. For every visible thing going on, lots of invisible things have to happen. Some people are very visible, some not so. You might say, I don't have the gifts for music or for praying or for reading up front, but you are just as needed. Maybe you've not discerned your gifts yet. Think about how the organisation we need to do, the administration. Think about the welcome on a Sunday, the coming alongside someone just to listen, the encouragement and comfort. God arranged parts of the body, verse 18, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. He made you. He gifted you as you to use your you-ness amongst us. So be ready and get on and do it. So a question for us at this stage might be, if we feel something is particularly prized, maybe the preaching up front, and we can't do that, how can we still be part of things? Still thinking, Christian, don't need to go to church. You are needed. And when you're not here, we feel the loss, the lack of you. Well, the church is one body and you are needed. It's of many parts who all belong to each other. The next parts of this chapter, 21 to 26, you need others to belong. The next part is written to those of us who might be tempted to feel superior, an I or a head type, who think, I don't need you. We need to be told we're not all the same and we treat each other honourably, but differently. Verse 21 and 20 to 23 talk about the weakest being indispensable. How? Well, Paul is almost making a joke here, talking about sort of our genitals, our sexual organs being hidden even on a beach. Cannot say I can do without you, though. You must say I need you. So the weaker are indispensable. Well, isn't that so obvious what the world says? The world says that this is the weak link. Remove it. This person is not bringing the strength that as others are. Get rid of them. In the church, well, it's an opportunity and privilege to care for each other, the strong for the weak. And we're all weak in particular seasons, aren't we? All continuously. And we want to bear with each other sacrificially. Think of different situations in life which make us weak. And we've heard people recently talking about using their weakness, their past. And hasn't it been a great encouragement for us to hear that? Whether it's been people who struggle with relationships or temptations, or cancer or other health things, or depression, or just life circumstances where life gets on top of us. As we can share of our history, or we share of what God has done for us, or how we've clung to faith, we can encourage and help each other using these experiences. Our weakness is what God uses. And a few weeks ago, even Paul, that great apostle, he spoke of his weakness being so important and bring him to trust in God and allowing God to do the work. The weak are indispensable. The unpresentable are shown with great honour. Again, Paul is using that thing about how we cover up some bits, even in summer. The more obviously honourable members of the church should rejoice in showing honour to the less honourable. It's not put up with. It's held in high regard, honour. People who are valuable but not put in front of the microphone. God has so arranged us, has put together the body to honour the parts that lack it. So then this church as a body, well, that truth brings us even closer than that. We're bearing with the weak, we're honouring those less obviously honourable. But verse 26 says, when one suffer, all suffer. It's a bit like when you stub your toe. I've hurt part of me, I've hurt all of me, and my voice is involved, shouting. My hand grabs my toe, my leg starts to hop. If I hurt, the church hurts. You see, it's not okay if my sister in Christ is falling away or is caught in a sin or has had something happen. That hurts me. And if I have something happen, if I slip into sin, it's not my own problem. It's a problem for the whole church. When one suffers, all suffer. And when one rejoices, we all celebrate. And that is why it's so great to hear stories from each other, isn't it? Of our growth or success or testimony to Christ. We suffer together and we rejoice together as one body. Christian, but I don't need to go to church. You need others. There's an African proverb which says it takes a village to raise a child. Well, for a Christian, it takes a church to raise a Christian. And personally, I'm grateful for the input from a variety of people in the church into my own family, my own children, as we have cross-generational family here at church. Our body acts as one, suffers as one, and rejoices together. I need you and I honour you. That's what we can say to each other, not just the vicar, not just the warden, but to all. Well, to wrap up, the church is the one body of Christ. We belong, we are needed, and we need others. And it is the body of Christ. Verse 27 to 31. Do you remember when Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus? Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me?" Just like what we do to your body, you do to you. What you do to the church, you do to Christ. And Jesus says, "Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." What you do for the church, you do for Christ. Passage goes on, but talking about kind of diversity. But the main thing is that diversity is healthy and necessary. There's not one person with all the gifts. And the surprise, maybe at the end, is to desire what is a greater gift. But in chapter 14, we see that it's prophecy. It's speaking God's truth to each other for the good of all. It's still about belonging, being needed, and needing others. And before we get to that, we come to that famous chapter 13, love. The spirit in which our gifts are to be exercised, the great hymn of love, is not firstly romantic. It's the love expressed in the church, the most excellent way. Well, our other reading this morning was from Hebrews 10. And let me summarise those verse 19 to 25, because it is quite dramatic what the writer says. He says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, i.e. since if we trust in the gospel, if we trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, our place, coming into the presence of God." Well, what? Well, first of all, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance. Well, that makes sense. That's what the gospel has brought us. It has brought us into the presence of our loving Father God. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Well, that makes sense too. We're brought into the presence of God and we have a sure and certain hope for all eternity. And thirdly, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Let us come to God, let us hold to our hope, and let us meet together. Church attendance. You are saved. You can draw near to your Father God. You can hold on to the wonderful sure hope throughout life into eternity. And you meet together to encourage and challenge each other. Turn up to church. Remember, turning away from church is turning away from Christ. So you belong to church. You are needed and you need others. How do you attend? How do you take part? Are you a bit like the SAS? Do you try and get in at the last possible minute without anyone spotting? Do church and then get out again and no one has ever knew that you were there. I wonder, do you find talking to others difficult? Are you shy? Pray that God will help you. Maybe put one person on your heart and talk to them. It's lovely to have seen a few people growing confidence and joining in more just recently. Maybe join the coffee rota for an example. You don't have to give full chat, but just sort of, "Hello, how are you? And here's your coffee." A gradual thing. Find a way in. Are you involved in the building of the body? What are your particular gifts and are you using them? And maybe are you letting others help you be built? Do they know of your weaknesses and your needs? This is counter the world, isn't it? Where we have to present this proud, strong image. No, we're all weak. We're all broken. And there's a wonderful privilege of having the needy to care for and to be cared for. There's a wonderful example when we were having new babies, and I've seen it with other Christian couples, and there'd suddenly be a meal rota in that time organised by our church family. Midwives coming in would be blown away by the care they see as we look after each other in all seasons. And giving, we are thinking about giving. We're thinking about giving our time and our energy and our money, knowing that as you do good to others in church, you do good to the body of Jesus, of which you are a part. It does you good. So it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Churchless Christian? Well, that's an oxymoron. It's like the Great Depression. King-size shrimp. Act naturally. Maybe even Microsoft works. There's no such thing as a churchless Christian. Church is the one body of Christ. Belong, be needed, need others. Find your place. Discern the gifts God has given you and do it. So do you hear others or do you hear yourself say, I don't do church, I don't belong, I don't need to belong? If you're a Christian, you are church, the body of Christ. You are needed within the body of Christ. And you need church, the rest of the body of Christ. You can't do Jesus and not his body. Let's pray.